come on in, it's time for dinner. I'll get there later.
We do what we want when we want.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because even when we're recording the podcast, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible.
This is a really fun segment of our show, the BU moment. Mm-hmm. And exactly where we are, this is the real us, the real deal, where we get to expose ourselves in authenticity.
you can get away with saying that. It just doesn't sound right come from me.
It's so good that I can get away with things that you can't. I love that. I'm gonna bring that up every time.
I'm a little jealous.
Oh, that's okay. Good. Because I'm jealous of the awesome mic that you use. So anyway, you know, this is it. This is true right here, the BU moment. I love what you're doing and how you're sounding. So I'll tell you a little bit about where I am today. So I decided to dress in that awesome color of black, but I have red burgundy pants on. You just can't see that even when I turn my camera on. So I'm in my favorite color, which is the color of deep Sicilian Italian wardrobe. Mm. Go into the closet, every dress is black, every sweater, every pair of pants, yep. Shirt.
Did you have a grandmother that when your grandfather passed away or vice versa, they just wore black for like the rest of their life?
So funny you should ask that. I didn't really know my grandmother well, okay. But she had five husbands.
Right.
The apple doesn't.
Oh, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Comes by me naturally. Most people blame their mother, but I attribute my fame to my grandmother. So, yes. Yeah, so there was a lot of black in the family. Right. We had big walk-in closets that were, go get me my, I'm like, how can I get you anything? It's all black. Right. But we color code the hangers so that way we know.
That's where the color comes in, right?
Yes, that's how it shows up for us. So I'm here in my bridge room, and I was commenting earlier when we were chatting, winter is gone. I see green, I see the fir trees, I see grass. Mm. This earlier today was a little bit of sunshine, so I'm not looking at the same winter, so I get to see the gardens, which is really exciting for me. I'm always playing with the indoor garden that I have here in my plants, and that somehow really speaks to me. I feel that my plants feel me, and I can give them what they need, and they give me what I need. So I'm in my bridge room, I'm looking at my artwork, and I really enjoy that. And today, I'm holding a gratitude stone. Mm. And I will take an image of that, and it's quartz, and it says gratitude on it, and I'm really happy for that as well, because this is my area where I have all these wonderful things that my clients and friends and family members have given me. So I surround myself with that when we do our podcast, and of course I have my 10-pound smart bell with me.
Nice.
Which is really exciting because, I have to do that. And I never mention that I use elastics as well.
Okay. And like those TheraBand things, right? The resistance bands.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, three steps to the left and four steps to the right. If I'm not with a dumbbell, I'm with an elastic. Now that's, you know, something that I need to do to keep myself going. And then as we know, I'm in a Pilates class. So today I am in this amazing room with you, listening to your crisp voice. It is amazing. I love what I'm hearing. It's exciting. And every time I re-listen to our podcasts, I am giving you like 5 million high fives. So I want to honor you. You're welcome. I want to honor you with that. And I'm feeling really good because our show is amazing and our guests are really amazing. And we have super conversations. You know, they say the meeting after the meeting or the meeting before the meeting.
We talk about that in Toastmasters. It's like the post-toasties.
Yeah. Okay. And the pre-BU, whatever that's like. Yeah. So we have these amazing conversations that lead to, it's our vision. We're always flying high with those visions and we're always up there really working at a different level or existing or playing at a different level.
Right.
And it feels so good. So I want to thank you for that. And I honor you. And I hope our guests, when they're listening, can feel that in our voice, because there's no image, but you can sense this, the vibration, and we're excited. So I want to thank you for giving me this platform to dream big and to live big.
Well, you're very welcome. And it was funny too, because we were talking about this with our guest, today's guest, Dr. Mary Grogan. Mm-hmm. After the call, as you mentioned, the post meeting, and we were talking about how we even came up with the podcast. Like, we were just relaunching. Like, we pick up projects, put down projects, and back in the spring we kind of picked this project up again, and then all of a sudden the summer rolled around, like, we need a podcast, and boom, we just started doing a podcast, and here we are now, almost, you know, this is now into our second season of podcasts, a third of the way through our second season now of our podcast. And I never had an idea that it would grow like this, but the conversations that we're having with people, with our guests, are just incredible. And it feels like they're almost too short. Like, we could easily have twice the length of the conversation and still have stuff that we didn't get to. So thank you for joining me in the sandbox and playing. It's been a wild ride so far. I can't just wait to see what's next.
And it's nice being this age and doing it. Nobody telling us when to get out.
Come on in. It's time for dinner. I'll get there later.
We do what we want when we want.
And it's funny you mention that, because even when we're recording the podcast, as we mentioned in our emails, when we notify our listeners that the next episode is available, We talk about that. We're up at all hours. We really are. Sometimes we're recording our podcasts in the evening. Sometimes we're in the morning. Sometimes the middle of the day. We really make sure we pack it into the schedule that works for us and also for our guests, obviously.
Yes, we do. This is because we're very aware of the time and the space. Mm. We're very aware of when things move smoothly, how important it is. I find that is efficient a good word?
Yeah.
I think that's something that we're very conscious of. And in doing that, I know that the word flow could mean flowing out and up and down. So I'm a bit cautious about that word flow. But the way that everything works for us is based on our intention.
Yes.
And we are very intentional about everything being smooth sailing, so to speak.
And you know, we often talk before we even get on the pre-call with our guests. You and I get together to have a little chat first about what our intention is for each episode and what we'd like our audience to get from it, so that we're setting that container right from the beginning and allows our guests to step into that and tap into that and share what our audience most needs.
Exactly. And in our authenticity, it isn't a formula. It's not this thing that...
Oh, God, no.
Yes.
Well, that would drive me crazy.
Some people might think that, right? They might not really know that, or they might not be aware of, like, how does that work? And someone described it to me last night, that we set the space, or we set the platform. And within that platform, because we do hold that space, we allow things to happen.
Right.
As opposed to guiding, pushing, insisting, like, none of that happens, right?
Right.
It's this really relaxed feeling, and it's relaxed for us. So hopefully our audience feels that as well.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that we don't have any structure at all, because we obviously do, but we don't have like scripted questions that we ask our guests or anything like that. It's more about allowing our guests to express who they're being and who they are being you, right?
Yes.
And and how the work that they're doing is expresses who they are and how that can be of use to our audience.
So if somebody is going to be a guest on our show, mm-hmm. and they're listening now,
yep.
what would they expect? Let's just talk about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. What's the big brouhaha? So they get on the show, mm-hmm. we talk to them a little bit, they get to say what they're saying, mm-hmm. and the show's over and that's it. What happens?
Oh, no, that's definitely not it. I mean, we are sharing this podcast, not only, you know, through the website and everything, but also through our social media. And, you know, we have a few other little projects that are going to branch off of this podcast. I think I could see maybe some workshops or summits or something like that, where we will definitely be tapping our guests on the shoulder another time to get their participation or to invite them to participate with us. And so I think that's something to look forward to as well.
Yes, I like the word tapping, because tapping to me is EFT.
Yeah.
There are different levels at which we can tap into our vibration. Yeah. So some are higher, some are not so high.
Yeah.
But in tapping, it gives me an image of, you know, when you were little and you kind of tapped on your parents' knee or their hand or their arm. Or I read some information that says that when a child wants their parent on the phone, just teach them to tap on your wrist.
Mm.
As opposed to your face.
Get out of my face.
Yeah, exactly. Like I am on the phone, because they'll tap on your face because your mouth is moving and there's something in your ear, whether it's a headset. So it's to tap on the wrist. So I get the impression that we'll be tapping our guests on the wrist, so to speak, to get their attention so that they can step into another place to share all the great things that they've accomplished.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what is we want to make on the podcast. It's really about making our guests the star and showcasing them. It's not about us.
Yes, it is not about us. And having the BU moment in each show, mm-hmm. explaining what we're doing in real time, because we're talking about being on the beach and doing this, so our guests can listen to that and see what's going to come of that. But we give the real vision, and I feel very grounded when I explain my physical surroundings. And each time, although I may say very similar things from show to show, I may highlight something else in my life or something that's happening, or holding a crystal, or whether it's a stone or a crystal, or holding a dumbbell or an elastic.
Right.
It gives a real image. When I'm listening to you describe what's going on in your mind and your physical space, it takes me right there, because you're a storyteller. And as storytellers, we want to be able to turn the page in our audience mind's eye. Right. And you do that very well. I really appreciate that. I love listening to what you're doing in the BU moment. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Our guests will get to hear the amazing Mary Grogan, Dr. Mary Grogan,
and
what her journey has been like up till now and what's in store for her after.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think it's going to be a great episode. So
I almost thought you were going to say something Ed Sullivan said.
A really great show.
And on that note.
On that note, I think we should go and speak to Mary.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. See you on the other side.
Ciao.
BU study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is BU study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking, receive instant feedback and achieve quick results, and feel confident that no one is laughing, unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships.
Dr. Energy, I'm so excited to talk to our guest, to speak with our guest today. Mm-hmm. Mary is not only a friend, but she's an amazing woman. I have so many things that I want to say about her, but I'm going to read some things about her. You know, the whole show could be about me talking about Mary.
Yeah. I was reading about Mary, and I was like, it was like blowing me away how much she's done. So I'm really excited about this.
Yes, and we will definitely have some time with Mary alone. I want alone time with her. we can learn so much from her. So I'm going to read some of her bio because Mary is such a well-written person, a well-spoken person mm-hmm. as well. So here's what I have to discuss with Mary, and then I'll put my two cents in.
Okay.
Dr. Mary Grogan is a passionate educator, counselor, and life leadership coach who spent a lifetime inspiring and supporting diverse students, teachers, families, and a variety of professionals to realize their potential and their dreams. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mary Grogan is committed to values of social justice and a humanistic leadership style. She's led inclusive, collaborative, and innovative learning communities in Toronto and abroad. Mary has delivered professional development initiatives at local, national, and international conferences. Mary is a curious leader. She completed her BA in sociology and her MED, applied psychology, and certificates in family therapy, mediation, principles qualifications, and cognitive coaching. While Mary was a principal and a part-time behavior science instructor on a medical school campus in Dominica, imagine that, Joe. Mm. She completed a doctorate in educational leadership and facilitated an innovative reflective practice program with medical students.
Wow.
Her insight and the power of reflection for building confidence and competent leadership and her desire to empower others in their own leadership journey motivated her to write The 7 C's of Global Leadership, an inward journey of tapping into your potential. Mary currently lives near the lake in Toronto, close to a yoga studio, and juggles consulting, coaching, speaking, and fun time with grandchildren and her friends. Now, that's amazing, correct?
Wow.
Yeah, Mary, we are so honored to have you on BU Network this morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and I'm really delighted to be here.
Well, wow. You have so many wonderful things that happened in your life. I'm so fascinated by the fact that you were in Dominica, and while you were there, you continued your education.
Yes.
Can you give us a bit of an, and our audience, a bit of an insight on how that happened?
Well, I have to say it started when I first went to school when I was 5 years old and sat in a circle and thought the story was too short. I said, when I run my own place, I'm going to have longer story time and, you know, less of doing other things, lining up for bathrooms. And I decided to be a teacher. And from the very beginning of my life, I always thought teaching meant learning. So I've been really blessed. When I was in Dominica, I was there for a couple weeks. And the psychiatrist came to me, his student was in my school, and asked me if, and I spoke to him about an issue with his child. And as a result, he asked me to teach behavior science part-time, taking history.
Oh, wow.
Students how to do history taking. And when I realized that they were, when I was sitting in the group with the students, I realized some of the questions around body and gender and other cultural issues that I was aware of, I didn't see, of course, get taken into the history taking because it's really about the physical. And it made me realize that people aren't thinking, they're just doing. Mm. And it surprised me, but my first experience with medical school, and I realized how basic science it was, because I'm a social science person, mm-hmm. I was shocked and started to observe and do a lot of my own thinking about how they were talking about their community visits in the clinics. And I became aware for the first time, really, that not everybody reflects, and it was kind of shocking to me. So I decided to think about doing a PhD. I've always wanted to do it. So I thought I would originally do a PhD with the research on reflective practice.
Right.
But since I wasn't a full-time prof. I wasn't able to do research on a program that I wasn't in charge of.
Right.
I stepped back and thought about it differently and realized that I wasn't sure that the students leaving the island really, we had a good idea whether how professional they were in terms of their ethics and in terms of their cultural competency, which comes under the name of professionalism. So I started my PhD because I couldn't get an answer.
Right. And isn't that the way that our learning gets informed, right? Is we have a question about something and we get interested about it and passionate about it and like, look, there's no answers. Let's go find some.
Right. I think everybody's amazed at how incredibly learned physicians are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed. I've never worked in a science background like that. So although I was in awe, I was also questioning, what about the other part of them?
Right.
In their formation. So it led me to my research and everything's just evolved from there, you know?
And Mary, you told me when we spoke that this is not, you know, obviously, and you were five, you can recall that at that moment, you knew that you were an educator, correct? Like this is who you were. That's who you are. And what are some of the things right now, if you like take a reflection back on what you've done, what are some of the things that you have in store for yourself moving forward?
That's a good question because I think it's in process. It's taken me a while after I've returned back from Dominica to really decide how I'm going to move forward. I've not been successful getting work that aligns with my competencies.
Right.
In post-secondary, which surprised me. I think I was naive and thought I might be able to get work on professionalism topics and instruction. But of course, I had done my work outside of Canada.
Right.
So I wasn't known here. And so what I did is I've done a lot of reading, a lot of thinking, a lot of talking to people, and I realized reflection is really, really concerns me, the lack of leadership around me politically, in institutions, daily life in families, communities. And I was trying to think about a way I could kind of take what I knew, my own wisdom from experience and research, and take that knowledge and find a new way to share it. Because as an educator, I have a responsibility to share what I know and to have other people share their light. So I took some program in coaching, and I've decided to add that to my expertise.
Right.
And now I'm looking at hopefully coaching people who are dealing with leadership experiences in their own journey, and just determining whether I'm going to do it individually or group. So I'm right at that point of moving into a business that's going to expand.
And thank you. And Mary, is that a vision that you see as a global vision?
Yes, I do. I could say I'd love to work with top people who are in leadership positions, either business and or government. And it's great to have that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I will certainly need partners to help me make some of those connections. But I'm going to, my next plan is to work on some marketing with my book, use my book as a marketing tool.
Right.
Introduce the topics around global leadership. Global leaders, in my definition, a global leader is someone who believes that we're connected, that the humanity is in all of us and that we're connected to the same human family. And also that we're connected as a global family, and that we are called to make a difference. So it's not a political leadership. It's a leadership that we all have a capacity to nurture within ourselves.
So it's not a top down hierarchy. It's more of a crowdsourced thing, right? The field, as it were, global humanity coming together and leading from the bottom up.
It's an individual, and yet it's like the pebble in the water. And that's why I've named it an inward journey. Reflection is an inward journey, but the seven seas, it's kind of a play on that whole, if you want to move through the world, whatever that world looks like, we usually do it through water, where change happens. It's quite a fluid, kind of challenging and scary. so I've kind of used that pun on the
That's a great segue, Mary. Excellent segue. I'd like to highlight that we're going to talk about your book now, The Seven Seas of Global Leadership, because this is certainly a very important topic for us today. And your subtitle, and this is what you just started to talk about, I want to highlight that, an inward journey, tapping into your potential. And I know there's so much to talk about, but maybe you could, I'll see if I can ask you a question to maybe bring out something in you that you hadn't thought about discussing today. Of the seven C's of global leadership, can you choose one to speak to? You could talk about all seven, but we might run out of time. But let's see if we could choose one that we can talk to our audience about today. And could you elaborate on it for us?
You know, I guess community building. Community building is the last C, but it can't happen without the other C's, the connecting to self and the communication and the curiosity and the creativity and the connecting to self. But community building is really what we really are. The world is asking us to build different kinds of communities and to build a community where people care rather than profit. And I think defining who's in our community and who's outside our community and who we build community with and how we do it with people who we are drawn to, but also maybe not consciously, but excluding. When you look at our own city, it's a lot of communities pocketed in little small groups. And with the kind of polarization going on in the world, families, communities, provinces, everybody's trying to draw strong boundaries around themselves in a protectionist way. And I think we need to have the courage to look beyond that and look at people who we're not familiar with and invite them in.
That's a great point.
I find that, you know, like you mentioned, Mary, the two things there about the polarity and the community building, the polarization that's happening is, you know, there's less and less middle ground and people, like you said, are drawing these strong protectionist boundaries. And I think that if we can recognize how stuck that is getting us, it can provide the fuel as well to, with the reflection, to step forward into really reclaiming our communities and our ability to build those communities. And I noticed that I've been reading research recently about, you know, like places, I think it was in Norway or the Netherlands, where they're having university students live with elderly populations and how it's benefited both groups to have that community. So it's a huge, important thing that we need to redevelop in our world.
And
well,
Mary,
for me to live is as a minority in the island of Dominica, because I lived right in the community and I didn't have any problem at all. I mean, there were things I didn't know about, certain foods and certain rituals around holiday.
Right.
But to be honest with you, I think living in a city like Toronto, I worked downtown and I worked with marginalized community my whole career here. So I was really comfortable being a learner with them, saying, I don't know. Tell me about the refugee camp. Tell me about that family.
Right.
Tell me what it's like to live with two fathers.
Yeah, it can be challenging for sure.
I'm blessed. Really, I was blessed because I was able to be a learner from other different people. I was forced to. Whoever walks in the door, I better make a connection with. It wasn't a problem. But I think we're at that point in our history. We've been relying on others. We've been relying on people who we think are the leaders. Who are the leaders? Right. Are they the white males? Are they the richest? Are they the smartest? What's our definition? And where does it put the ownership on the individual?
Right.
It's great to, you know, blame others, but when the finger points out, there's three or four coming at you. It yes. kind of take ownership for where we are. And I think that's the challenge at this next century, is to kind of rethink leadership and rethink our own capacity for change.
And Mary, we were talking about, well, you're speaking about serving, and I know that you serve in the community on so many levels. And you serve in the Rotary as well, and you are involved. You are involved on many aspects, or in many aspects, of how you serve your community and globally. And one of the questions that came to mind when you were speaking was, what inspired you to write this book? Aside from all the knowledge and the experience that you have, there must have been a day in your life where you realized, I'm going to do this. I'm going to write this. So do you recall that and what happened?
To be honest, I went to a workshop about writing, and I had a whole different idea about doing a personal story around my own reunion, my own family reunion, because I was adopted when I was young. And I'd had a whole different intention, but it ended up to be a conference about marketing. And because I know nothing about marketing, I became interested, as I normally do when I don't. I said, you know what? I don't know who would be interested in this kind of academic background. I don't have any business background, really.
Right.
And I spoke to a few people when I said, no, I don't think this is for me. I'm not going to sign up for a contract. And two or three people said, tell me about your thesis. And when it was... And when I described what I'd kind of learned,
right.
and how I was promoting one of the recommendations for my thesis, the use of reflection for professional development, and how important it is.
Right.
They said, you know, you should write something. You should use that as a book. And although I didn't have my avatar and all those terms that you're supposed to have,
right.
I said, you know what? That makes sense. I don't want to write in a journal. I don't want to do any more academic writing.
Right.
I want to relate it so that it makes a difference.
Yeah.
So I tried to, that's why it was so hard to write. I tried to write it, and then every time I wrote an I ripped it up, because I'd been used to academic writing where you don't say I,
yes.
and you don't have five references at the end of every line. I found it very difficult, to be honest. And now that I've done it, I think I recognize that academics can really hide behind their vulnerability.
Oh.
So I told a few stories in the book thinking, who cares? Who's going to be interested? But what I did is I asked a few other people to read them, teachers, people who are teachers who don't know me very well. And they said, you know what? I don't know about reflective practice, but that story was interesting. I bet you have more. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of forced me to finish.
It's interesting how you came full circle from that five-year-old girl in kindergarten class wishing that the story circle was longer, right. and now here you are telling stories in your book. And that's, and isn't that what people connect to, is stories? I mean,
right.
this is one of the easiest ways that we can communicate ideas, is through metaphors and analogies and stories, and it just connects with people on a deeper level than the academic writing does. And you're going to reach more people than writing in any journal, as I'm sure you know.
Well, I think the other thing that we that you've noted that I really appreciate is the fact that I don't really know what waves it will send and what community might pick it up. And exactly. I did not make it long on stories. I think I told one small something in each of the seven chapters.
Mm-hmm.
What the important thing I wanted was the questions.
Right.
And I really believe that people need a simple toolkit to pick up. And that's what I was hoping, that the book would become something to use for action. It's interesting. I want them to think. but use the questions with either themselves, or I saw myself as a team leader of some kind, picking up a question and just leaving it with my team to think about.
So is that your goal, Mary? Like your intent, let's not say goal, let's use the word intent. Your intent is for this book to be used to lead a team?
My intent is that this book will be used as a tool for the individual to make an impact, to make a difference.
Right.
And if that means that they're running a group, they could use it to stimulate thinking in their group and building teamwork.
That's a great intention, because mm-hmm. if you think about that, you're thinking about someone like you talked about in political or in the education field. I can think of so many industries that are leading teams that should have this book in their hand as mm-hmm. a door opener for them to start their course. I mean, this is a great intention. And how did you come about that? I know you talked about Avatar and you just started writing, but what we just talked about now, how did you come up with that? Was it after you wrote the book or when you were writing it?
I have to say that I kind of shut out all idea of business. And I know that that's not a very good business talk.
Sometimes it is.
I had trouble identifying with who would read it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I said, you know what? You have a message. Just concentrate on what you have to say and get it out, because I was having trouble not writing academically.
Right.
Yes. So I said, just imagine it's a workshop and use the questions to start small group thinking. And that's what helped me, because if I had thought about would other people like this? If I kept thinking about whether I would be, it would be approved or a bestseller or people would even want to buy it, I would never finish it. So I made a decision. This is my thinking. I'm taking full ownership. Let it sink or swim, just like the journey across the ocean. Let's see what happens. So it's very interesting. I tried hard not to think about other people, as other than people are yearning to develop their potential. Whether they're, I don't know how conscious they are at times, but we all have some light. And if it sparks somebody to think about their potential, one of those C's, it's going to cause a change internally and take ownership for some piece of their gifts, their potential, and build it and become aware of their own leadership. Every time we speak, every time we sit with somebody, our energy impacts those around us.
That's beautiful, Mary. How long did it take you to, from thought process to printed copy, how long did that take? In case any of our audience, you know, has a thought in their mind to write a book so they can relate to what you're saying.
Well, frankly, I wrote and then I had to put it down for a couple months because I was distracted and I had a new baby in the family and other issues, but I tried to avoid writing it at things because I kept writing in circles and it just didn't feel authentic. I think part of that is because I wrote academically.
Yes.
I really wanted it to be a tool, which is a real shift. I wanted it to really, somebody could pick it up, think about it, put it down. And as a result, that's how I wrote. I thought, wrote, put it down, rewrote, picked it up, and try to just focus on what are the questions that I really think people need to to use for themselves.
And
so I try to make it generic that way. It doesn't matter whether you're a politician, you were on a plane picking it up, whether you were a teacher in your own classroom, whether you're a parent. Some of the, for example, even the first chapter, the connecting to self, everybody needs to connect to themselves. All leaders, whether they're leading a family or whether they're, you know, leading a community project, if they're not connected to themselves, taking care of themselves, they're not modeling and they're not renewing their energy. So they're not growing. So they're not going to have a great impact.
And isn't that how life works, right? It goes in fits and starts. We have all this energy, we get into a project and then we put it down for a little bit and then we pick it up again as our passion renews. And because we can't be full on all the time, right? It's it's just not sustainable that way. So we have to have these pauses where we take the time to reflect. And, you know, I see this in my office and practice as well. There's a lot of people out there that just aren't aware of what's going on in their body, with their emotions, in their mind, or even what's going on around them. So this is really, really timely.
I appreciate you saying that. I have to say the paradox is I'm an extrovert. And although I've spent a lot of my life, you know, a couple of nights a week writing, usually it's been either workshops or papers or whatever. I don't crave, I mean, I crave some alone time to write, but to if I had not been going through my own journey of transition, I think I would have been able to do it in a couple months. But my life was going through transition. I was acculturating back home. I was uncertain about who might be interested, and I wanted to stop focusing on others. So I think the journey of writing and then discarding and picking up, I wanted to do my own authentic voice.
And that, and that's what's going to connect with people, is the authenticity.
I hope so.
Yeah, that it's if people know, people on some level can always sense when we're not being authentic, and they will automatically turn away or not purchase or not engage, because at some level they're sensing that this isn't quite right. I want somebody who's authentic. So I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. One of two things I did that is I've never done before. I did not share the book, and I have not shared it with anybody I know, because some of the people in my group, my, my family, my, they know me a certain way. People who are friends at my, have gone through the journey of education with me, they're no longer in the business, and they're, they're in a full retirement mode. And I met by quite by accident the first year a person who was selling a book, a person from Nigeria selling their book. And I had a long conversation about it with that person, and they were an immigrant here and had retired to write, clearly a fiction writer, and had some writing background in his experience in his own country. And I asked him if he would be willing to read mine, because he was trained as a journalist, I think, in Nigeria. And he wrote it and said, I don't know about the questions, but I like those little stories. And that's what helped me. I shared it with a couple of people who really didn't know me.
Sometimes when we share it with people that know us, we get the, oh, it's great, it's amazing, it's fantastic, but we don't get any real nitty-gritty feedback.
Well, my friends would say, oh my God, you're on another project. I mean, when are you going to start playing cards with us and really know how to relax?
Yeah, I get the same thing,
But I mean, I'm a learner. So when you're a learner, you keep going on these journeys, and they're not always even, you know?
Exactly.
Mary, exciting. So Mary, there's a few things that I wanted to outline. So just to prepare our audience, because they're going to want more. There's no question that our audience is going to want to know how to get in touch with you. I'd like to go keep the energy of the room, what we're doing. And I'd like to talk about our takeaway from today that we can share with our audience. We call this segment our BU final moment. After that, we'll ask you how our audience, and now your audience, can connect with you. So with regard to the final moment, a BU final moment, what that means for us and how we deliver this to the audience who's listening to us, what is the takeaway from this interaction that we have had together tonight, today, this morning, because who knows when anybody's listening, but it's really in the morning time for us in real time. Can you share that with us? Your takeaway, your BU final moment.
For me, it's the truth about the journey we're all on. And I think we don't really appreciate the enormous capacity we have to grow and share our light, and the kind of discipline it takes, and the kind of courage to be vulnerable. So I really appreciate the opportunity to have this, my first podcast about the book. So I'm really thrilled that you're the two first interviewers. I'm really appreciative of your style. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Two of many, many more to come.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes. Dr. Joe, Dr. Energy, would you like to give us your BU final moments?
Absolutely. for me, the recognition that Mary has of the importance of community building and people connecting not only to themselves, which is super important, but also to each other. You know, this is what I focus on in my office and everything that I do, this podcast, what I do in the office, workshops. It's all about empowering the greatness in others, helping them find that light that's inside of them and helping them share it in the world. So to find a kindred spirit who in a different discipline who's doing the same thing or a similar thing has been really energizing for me. And I can't wait to read this book and really get into it. So I thank you very much, Mary. I really appreciate your being on this morning.
Thank you.
And how about you, Kathy?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I was listening to you so intently. Mary, you really captured my entire being when you talked about being 5 years old, listening to a story and telling yourself you want the stories. Your stories are going to be longer. And that brought me to the BU moment, the final moment for me is when you were five, you had your journey already planned. So when we are striving and we're working and in our business of BU Network and my private business with my ambassadors, as I call them, you know, we have things that we want to do and we have reasons why we want to do it. And those reasons stem from very early ages. Mm-hmm. You took the time to articulate and you remember that point. So when someone says, I have an idea, really think about what you told us. At five, you wanted those stories to be longer. And you did that. You went and lived it. So it's a really important part that you brought up for me, because I speak to five-year-olds. And I am relating to the fact that their life is, well, obviously their life is, that's their journey. The thoughts that they're having at that moment could in fact determine the life's work that they do. So that's amazing. That got really made me think. It made me stand up on my toes and stand at attention. So I want to thank you for sharing that, because that's a long time for someone to know that story began at five. That story, I remember the other day I said something to my husband and he said, you remember that early? And I said, absolutely. He said, how do you remember sitting in your high chair crying to that song? I said, well, I cry to that song. That's the song that makes me cry. And he said, wow. You know, and like, but you know, there are things in your life. And so thank you for bringing that up to us and to our audience. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Now, our audience is probably sitting on the edge of their chair or they're driving thinking, how do I reach Mary? So Mary, we're going to post all of the links that you've provided us, but what is the method that you like? If someone wants to reach you, how do you like to be reached?
Email or a call.
All right, fantastic. And we will provide your website, and in your website, is there a direct, I'm going to look at it right now, contact. And in your website, people can get in touch with you. Yep, your phone number is there. Okay, so awesome.
And email.
Got it.
And okay. The book should be out early 2020. It's just in the layout stage now.
Okay.
Perfect.
I hope that you join me at the launch.
Mary.
We will look for the invite for sure.
Yes, please let us know. Do you know what month it will be?
I would hope it better be by March.
By March, okay. Well,
they're being very wise not to give me a final date.
Keep you guessing.
December. I think it's got to do with December.
Right.
Okay.
People aren't around as much in December, you know?
Right. Holiday parties and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right. And that will be in Toronto, right, Mary?
Yes.
Okay. Amazing. Right.
We'll definitely look for that.
We look forward to it, Mary. And we could actually post that information
once
we have it. Once you get that, give that to us and we'll put it.
And I have to say that the book too is a way to invite, let people know that I do coaching for leaders.
Yes. I'm definitely going to, I have lots of teacher friends. One of my best friends has a PhD in education as well from NYU, and he's teaching in the US at a college. And so there's definitely people that I'm going to share this book with, because they need to hear it as well. So
thank you. I am a former faculty at Johns Hopkins. So.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I taught there for a long distance for a few years there.
Nice.
Thank you, Mary. And we appreciate you being here with us, and we look forward to all the wonderful things that you have in store for us, and including us and our audience, because we would like to continue this journey with you. And yes, much love to you for your success and for all of the leaders that embark on your book and follow you.
Thank you, and have a wonderful journey today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about Conversations Worth Having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcast. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.bu.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.b-u.network, and build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.b-u.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, babies.